This is GabNet, the Great American Broadcast Network. Talk radio like you've never heard it before.
Find out where my Skype little volume knob is, and I can't find it here. Let me see.
What the fuck, Aldo?
I know. That's what I say.
Christ, I'm hearing.
I know you've got your own problems. What the hell are you dealing with my problems for? I understand.
Yeah, I
How
know.
You feeling, David?
Oh, I'm here, but I'm glad I can call you, man.
All right, good. Well, how did it go today?
Oh, it was good. Hopefully it's over for this leg.
Hopefully it's over for that leg. And then the next leg, when? In a month or how long?
Yes.
So you go and recuperate in Europe and then you come back and get the other leg done?
No, they're going to do it in Europe.
Oh, they're going to do it in Europe. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you hopeful they're going to do the same kind of job, a better job, a worse job, or what do you think?
It's going to be much, much easier because the right leg is not that bad.
Oh, okay, good. All right, so they got the worst out of the way then. Good, I'm glad to hear that. And for everybody who doesn't know, David has been suffering from some leg problems, which he's been on and off with the insurance and with medical. And you know how the state of medicine is here in the United States. It's shit.
It's terrible.
Yeah,
it's smirdy.
It's smirdy.
Smirdy. So, I don't fucking care about Obamacare.
Exactly.
It sucks.
So, but David got some relief. He got a couple of procedures done over the last week, and he's feeling better. Hopefully, another leg. At least you got your both legs, so that's good. Another leg in another month, and you're gonna go recuperate in Europe and have the other leg done at the same time. So we'll see what happens. In the meantime, the citizen panel is open. Of course, it's Albert's Public House, so it's called the Public House Panel, the Pub Panel, we call it. Rin is the bouncer of the pub panel tonight. David is with us. Rob is with us. If you'd like to join us, get onto Skype. Type in GabNet Live, one word, GabNet Live, one word, and you will be on the pub panel with us. Let me tell you also that if you want any information on anything going on GabNet, just go to GabNet.net, GabNet.net. All the information is there, including the information on how you can get the Great American Broadcast app for your Android or Windows device, and the fact that Albert's Public House is on at 9 p.m. Eastern every weeknight here on GabNet. Alex Bennett has the Alex Bennett Ramble following this show at 10 p.m. Eastern every weeknight. Revelstoke Jim's Canadian Content Live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here on GabNet at midnight. And Getting Geeky, well, Geeky, not Geekney, Geeky will be on tonight, as it is every Tuesday and Thursday here on GabNet. Rob Alfano will be your host tomorrow on Albert's Public House. And Rob is, as I said, Rob is part of the citizen panel right now. And, of course, Rob Alfano's GabNet Rewind runs all weekend throughout the programming of GabNet right here on GabNet. Anything anybody want to talk about tonight, or shall we call it a night? I'm a little tired. I'm a little tired.
Really,
I have
over
to say.
It?
Yeah, I'm a little tired. I have not. I don't have any cocktails in front of me, but I had a few beers early. I went to a new.
Nice.
Yeah, I went to a new place with a buddy of mine. My wife will not go because it's all meats. It's a place in Brooklyn called Brisket Town. Obviously, it's not going to have any vegetable because it's not called Vegetable Fucking Town. It's Brisket Town. It's a very sparse menu. They only have about five or six things. There's a brisket, pulled pork, ribs, pork ribs.
Oh my God, I'm hungry.
Yeah,
here.
And then they also had sausage links, and then perhaps one of the worst macaroni and cheeses I've ever had. But they built it up like a big thing, and it was, I got to tell you, I don't know if you know what a bechamel sauce is or Alfredo sauce. It was not as thick as those two sauces are. That's how bad this macaroni and cheese was. It's horrible. It was horrible. It was the wrong kind of pasta. The cheese was not cheesy at all. And I've said before, if it's going to be macaroni and cheese, it's got to have a stringiness. If I pull the noodles away from the other noodles, there's got to be some strings left behind.
But
yeah, there was nothing. It literally, when I picked the noodles up, there was dripping liquid coming from the noodles. That is not supposed to happen. That's not macaroni and cheese. That's macaroni and cream or milk, but not macaroni and cheese. So I went there, had a nice, good brisket there. But I have to say that was really the only thing that was good there. I had some kind of a beer, some kind of summer, I forgot what it was, some summer beer in a can. Anytime you're serving me beer in a can at any restaurant, I don't care how quaint or rustic it is, don't serve me beer in a can. That's bullshit. You know,
yes.
At least have the good sense to get a couple of bottled beers. And they did have some bottled beers and some ones that I like, but I never heard of this beer before. So I'm going to check it out. And they brought me a can with a beer.
Leinenkugel?
No, I wish it were Leinenkugel. It was something with a grapefruit summer flavor to it. I forgot what it was. I've heard of it before, but it was not good. It was not good at all.
David, you're going to have to postpone your trip. Your dinner with Albert if you're going to be away for those 2 months, huh?
What 2 months?
Don't worry, we will postpone it, no problem.
What, 2 months you're going to be away? What are you talking about, man?
He's going to check.
Yes,
he's going
I know
to
that,
check.
But
I'm sorry, I have to go.
Wait a minute, you're not going to be back by October?
No.
Well, I didn't know anything about this. I'm very upset about this.
I wanted to talk about it privately with you, but Rob just
What are you scared of me? What are you?
No, of course I'm not. You're my favorite American.
I really
mathematics.
Why did you bring it up, Rob? I wanted to talk to Albert about it privately.
No, that's okay.
And
right.
You I'm fucked it up for me, man.
I'm sorry, there, David. But I just thought, you know, it's simple mathematics. Is you're going away in the last date or the second to last date of August, and it's 2 months, so that means all of September and all of October. I know you and I haven't had a discussion about it. It just was simple math.
Huh. Yes. So when are you expecting to come back?
Well, I mean, I would like to. I would like to stay in Europe for Christmas.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Okay. That's a long time.
Because last time I spent Christmas with my family was in 1998.
Oh, then you certainly should. Good. That'd be nice.
So but I'm gonna text with you privately and you will understand my reason.
Are you a big Christian? Do you go to church every week?
No, I'm not at all, but it would be nice to spend Christmas with my family.
Robert, congratulations, you've made it to the citizen panel, but you have to turn your speakers down because you're feeding back wildly.
Sounds like he's driving.
Maybe driving. Yeah, he's been driving in the past. Robert, are you driving? Robert? Mr. Burns? Hello?
Mr. Burns?
hello, Smithers.
nice.
Mr. Burns, we got to let you go because, first of all, you can't hear us, and secondly, a lot of noise there on the drive. So call us back when you've got the mic and the headphones going. Sorry to hear that, but David, you take as long as you need and do what you got to do, and don't worry about it. Not a problem. We can.
I definitely want to see you, man.
No, that's
next
all right.
Year.
I'm not going anywhere. I was just telling my buddy today over our dinner and beer that I have it at least a good 2 years left in me before I shuffle off. Away from this planet and away from this thing. Because
don't say that. Because you look great.
I'm not talking about looking. I'm not talking about looking great. I'm talking about how long the money will last. And if I don't get any work, you know, I can go probably about 2 years and still leave my wife and family a little something. Otherwise I gotta go. I don't see the point. I'm an existentialist. I can't just go on without having a job. That just doesn't work for me. That's not gonna work.
The USA Today says that economy is getting better.
Really? You know when the USA Today doesn't say that? In 2008. That's the only time I've ever seen them that. They have a little fucking pictogram for the... No, the economy's getting better. And yeah, and so does the... I believe the federal... What is the Janet Yellen? What is the thing called that she runs? The Federal Reserve... The Fed. It's not the Federal Reserve. It's the Fed.
Yes, it is.
Is it the Federal Reserve?
She's a chief of Federal Reserve.
Okay, Federal Reserve. Okay. I I've had a couple of beers. But even the Federal Reserve said they're not going to raise interest rates because although the economy is getting better, there still are some little ticks in there that have to be resolved. And I can tell you what the ticks are because everybody is mentioning this, that yeah, the economy seems to be getting better and there are more jobs, which is a bullshit thing that there are more jobs.
Exactly. More shitty jobs,
right? More in fact, they're not even
douche employees. Yeah, they need douche employees.
Douche ploys, yeah. Right?
Douche
ploys. And I'll tell you what. It's not even that they're shitty jobs. It's the same jobs that were lost years ago, but they're back now, and they're paying shitty money. So big fucking deal. Big fucking deal. Who wants to work for that? You know, I'd rather piss away my savings and go away and at least have a good couple of years and really go crazy and enjoy myself. What the hell? You know that.
If you look at Long Island and what's happened on Long Island over the past 30 or 40 years, mm-hmm. you have just a little microcosm of what's happened in the United States. And that is that Long Island used to be the home of Grumman.
Uh-huh.
It used to be the home of a lot of high tech. With all of the mergers when Northrop bought Northrop Grumman, all of these well-paying engineering jobs and all that were all dispersed. And now, like, the biggest employers on Long Island are, like, supermarkets and a Cablevision, and they pay nothing. And all these jobs are all gone, and now they've replaced them with jobs that pay nothing.
Who pays any money anymore? I remember a time when, this might have been about 20 years ago, maybe even not as long as that, certainly before 2008. But I remember a time where I knew a lot of people making six-figure salaries, and yeah. I don't know anybody making six figures anymore. I don't know why that is. Why are companies recording record profits and coming up with record profits every quarter, and people are making shit money? I don't get it. And the economy.
That's exactly how.
What's that?
That's exactly how they're showing record profits.
Well, I guess, yeah.
Because
I guess
they've eliminated everybody's salary.
I guess.
It depends on the industry, though. Because there are plenty of six-figure jobs out there. In my industry, there are six-figure jobs. Most of the people I know are earning that.
Okay.
But what's happening is you have to stay on the cusp of the latest. If you don't, what happens is your job becomes commoditized. Because
mm-hmm.
as technology gets easier, the jobs that paid six figures 3 years ago have now been, we're automating the hell out of everything. You need less people. And because we've automated it all, you don't need so many smart people. And so those jobs, so if you don't stay on the cutting edge, which is why I want to get out of what I do,
mm-hmm.
because if mm-hmm. after a while, you know, at my age, it keeps difficult to constantly need to go back every 18 months and go to school and learn and get certified, take tests. Yeah, and then you can keep a six-figure job.
So, who are the people that are on this cutting edge? Are they only? We spoke to Miranda the other night. Are they only software engineers? Are there people who know what the latest tech is? Is that it? Is that all there is?
Everybody I know, pretty much all of my peers, were there.
Uh huh.
I'm a senior engineer, mm-hmm. and I do infrastructure, right? So I build systems. And
you're talking about computer systems?
I build, you can call them computer systems, right. But they're more they're deeper than that. They're systems. They involve computers, but you're building automated systems. I just got through building two virtual data centers.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So in that respect, there. But the problem is, if I just stick around and decide, you know what, I'm good, I'm happy with my salary, I'm happy with my job, and I just stay idle, in 3 years, they won't want me anymore. And they'll get somebody that makes $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 a year less than me.
Why will they not want you anymore?
Because you have to stay. Because what I'm doing, by the very work I'm doing, I'm putting myself out of work.
How?
By virtualizing and making, you know, we can, at one point, when I first started 20 years ago, you know what a server is, right?
Right.
A server is, okay. I think everybody knows what a server is. So you used to build this piece of hardware.
Mm-hmm.
The piece of hardware had physical drives and it had physical processors and it took a time to build it and install an OS and get everything done, right? Today, I could build you a server in my environment in all of about 45 seconds.
Really?
It's not physical. It's virtual.
And
it's
where
does... It's more than a bunch of files.
Where does the stuff get stored then?
All on hardware. All on what they call storage area networks. SANs.
And those are already somewhere.
My company has, hundreds of terabytes worth of storage area networks.
Yeah, okay.
And probably about 800 virtual machines running on about 30 or 40 physical servers. The physical servers are now commodity. They don't mean anything. If a physical server goes dead, you pop it out, you put another one in.
Yeah,
the
virtual
machines that were running on it get shut down quickly because they lost their physical machine, but then they suddenly get automatically brought up on the remaining servers. It's a high availability. All of this, the more you get into this, the more you need to keep going, because if you don't, you become less worth.
Yeah, you really depressed the shit out of me, Rob. Thank you very much for that. Because
here,
because
Rob, I'm sorry. Rob,
no, go ahead.
What should I study to compete in this economy? In your opinion,
I think security.
Cybersecurity
is a hot topic. There are lots of well over six-figure jobs for people who get their CISSP. Is it CISSP? There's certain CISP or CISSP. There are all these certifications for security.
Uh-huh. Cybersecurity.
If you make a living today, if you want to stay in that six-figure realm easily, become certified and become a security because that's, look, you know, you got Target.
Yeah.
These companies are getting,
What's it take for me to get certified and become some kind of a hacker tester guy like that?
Yeah, how much money?
Yeah. What does it take to do that?
$5,000. Uh-huh. This is not a college degree. This is,
I fucked myself on the college degree already. That was money thrown away.
You don't need a college degree necessarily to do this kind of work. Now, if you want to get into management at some point, if you feel that...
Nope.
You want to be a CIO or a CTO or something like that.
I want to be CIA.
How do we know you're not already, David?
Oh, yeah.
But there's plenty of work out there if you're smart and if you want to get into cybersecurity. Even when I do the stage of the game, by the time you have built up enough time in it, it'll be well past you. I think, I got in at the right time for this. I'm not about to start with security at this point. I want to get out. I want to get out. I'm tired of every 18 months having to learn how to do my job all over again. That's one thing. I don't know if developers suffer from that as badly as people in infrastructure do. But you know how you go from Windows 7 to Windows 8 and it looks very different?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same kind of thing. All of a sudden, they bring out the next version of the product.
Uh-huh.
And you go and you look at the tools that you use to manage it, and they're all different.
Hmm.
And they've got all brand new functionality and features that you need to go and learn and how to configure it, how to manage it, how to understand it when somebody comes back to you and says, I'm having a problem.
Now you're confusing me. Now I don't know whether I get into that.
Exactly. I'm just on the website.
Do I get into this field, or do I stay in radio, which is shit also? I don't know. What do I do? Because I have nothing. I got nothing else.
If you want to, if you're prepared to work and study and learn.
No, don't want to do that anymore. Did that already.
Well, then there you go.
I did the learning. I did the 4 years of college. I fucking taught college. Why do I have to go back to college again?
Bus driver is actually a very well-paying job.
Bus driver?
I think
if you're a municipal bus driver, yeah.
Really?
SF Muni bus driver started $18 an hour.
I can't imagine doing that in New York.
You can make $95,000
for driving a bus.
Yes.
Oh, no wonder my buddy Jerry in London is a bus driver in London driving around Trafalgar Square. Yeah,
I would kill. You know what? I'm getting ready to go on vacation. Shit. Right. I have to bring a laptop. I've got to be connected. God forbid something happens with my systems. Mm. I am always on call. You drive that bus. When you step off that bus at the end of the day, I'll see you tomorrow. For $95K, that's a great
fantastic job.
And they don't have to clean the vomit or anything, do they? Somebody else does that, right?
Oh, no.
Right. Oh, I like that.
That's why I started the truck driving school.
Did you do the truck driving school, David?
I started it, and then after 3 hours driving, my leg.
Oh, right,
numb.
Yeah.
That's why they sent me home for that operation. Yeah.
I'm a little worried about the truck driving school myself, because they may have to put those little blocks on the pedals for me, because I'm kind of short, you know? I don't know if I can do that. Yeah. But how much does it cost to get into the truck driving school? Because they have a couple around by me. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I should do that.
You don't have to pay anything in the front. You just work for them usually like 8 months.
Who work for who? No, there's a school you got to go to learn how to drive a truck. I don't know how to drive a truck.
Yeah, so in New York State, it's very easy. You just ask government for the money.
What?
Albert?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's that, Robert? You. Is Robert chiming in there?
Hello?
Yeah, Robert, chime in. Tell me how to drive a truck, man.
I'm a truck driver. I'm going down across 70 in St. Louis right now.
And how do I learn how to drive a truck?
I listened to a program the other day, and a guy was given a guy on a radio station that wanted his nephew to go to a truck driving school, and he was asking different drivers which way to go on Road Dog Radio. And a guy called in and said the best thing to do is go to the Bureau of Unemployment, tell them that you need to be retrained. They will actually pay you while you're going to school and pay all your fees. It's pretty good. If I've been doing it for 20 years, I only make this year, I'm probably going to be lucky to make $36,000.
How come you're not driving a bus, man? I hear bus drivers are making close to $100,000. What's up with that, Robert?
I don't want to put up with all that bullshit with people.
Yeah, because some people don't want to deal with kids.
What kids? Oh, what, you're in that little...
Robert, how many weeks?
Legs, I'm sorry. If you got problems with your legs, you got no business going into driving a truck because.
Mm. Sorry, David, you're out.
No, I'll be
66 years old right now.
Oh.
And I'll be fine after operation.
Okay, after the operation, you'll do the truck driving. But I don't care about the little kids or the old people or any of that shit. I'm in that little protected area of the bus. I don't care. So just put your Metro card in the slot and get to the back. That's all I care about. What do I have to worry about those people?
Yeah, there are guys that have got union jobs that drive for ABF, Yellow Freight, Holland, all those good union jobs.
Yeah,
I'm pro 100%. And they can knock down $150,000 a year pretty easily.
Yeah, but you're talking about long hauling. I'm not doing any long hauling. I'm not leaving the area. I'm just going.
You could be a over the road driver, which would be just like running from Dayton, Ohio, which is where I live, to Chicago and back. And some of those guys are from Dayton to Erie, PA, and I've got a buddy of mine does it, and he's knocking down $150,000 a year. He's home every other night.
Oh, really?
And what is the company name again?
ABF, and they are hiring right now, but the requirements are pretty strenuous. Yeah, they're not going to take somebody right out of a school. You got to have some experience.
Same
it's understood, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
so,
I'm getting ready to go to work for a pulling milk tankers right now, and it I can probably knock down $70,000 a year and be off a couple days a week and be home a night or two during the week.
Robert, do you have your own rig?
No, I'm a company driver.
Okay.
I would never suggest anybody, unless you really get a good niche, like if you were a chemical tanker and you had your own truck, there's a lot of responsibility and a lot of expense.
Yeah.
But it's been good to me. I was a butcher for 30 years for Kroger. And then I started doing this. I like it. I like the tranquility. If I don't want to talk to somebody, I can get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and go all day long and never talk to a soul. But I'm not that type person.
Well, that's what it,
there's a lot of good things about driving a truck. It's not real strenuous, but you also, your body goes on a, there's no good eating. I mean, you can eat around, but it's very expensive.
Yeah. Well, I live in New York, so it's expensive anywhere you eat here. So, there's something to be said about that. But I think when you get to the, I don't know about the younger generation, but I know about certainly my generation, guys in their 50s, certainly people in their 40s and 50s, where you have to start thinking now about a second career, a whole second career. I can't do what I did before. It's just not the same. Robert,
two or three careers in their lives.
You've got a lot of noise there.
That's exactly what I did when I.
Yeah. You got a lot of noise, Robert. So hang in with us for a second. That's what they say. You got about two or three careers in your life, and it's kind of difficult to decide what that second career is sometimes, and to figure out what can make you money and what can make you happy at the same time. Because for goodness sake, without being happy, who gives a shit about the money? Especially when you're older. When you're younger, you do shit you don't want to do because you want to make the money. But when you're older,
I think I'm in a dying profession right now. I'm over the road sales, and I used to run a bunch of salesmen, different clients and stuff like that. Don't see as many as I used to.
No, well, yeah, that's but, why. That's,
it's
fashion mode because everything is electronic today, and you can do Skype, and you don't need to drive all over the place.
Well, look at Google; they don't do any. Nobody does the sales. It's all mechanical. It's all it's all what Rob said, And then you better watch out for that that famous play, Doug, Death of a Salesman. You better watch out. Yeah. Go ahead, Doug. Go ahead, David.
What a depressing movie that was.
Yeah. Go ahead, David.
I just want to say that the school for cybersecurity will cost you $7,125.
Yeah, it won't cost me $7,000 because I ain't paying for that.
That's a big return on that if you're good at it.
Yeah, well, but what's... What's the guarantee? What do they have? Oh, we have placement services. Bah, I've never seen a placement service at work.
Believe me, they can't find people.
Really?
Yeah.
I definitely would not pay to go to a driving school. There's too many other places that a lot of times you can go to a driving school and sign a contract and dedicate yourself for a year or two to a company. And then you got your license, you got your experience. If I, David, if I was you, I would think really seriously with your leg problems about driving a truck. I'm diabetic. I'm losing all the feeling in my feet right now.
Wow.
I'm having trouble walking. If I was somebody who wanted to drive a truck, what I would do, I go after a job like with USF Holland, ABF, Roadway, Yellow Freight, one of them that are union that you could run local. You could probably make $65,000-$70,000 and work in your area. This is in Ohio or Indiana, Illinois.
And what are the chances of somebody who's 50 years old getting a job doing that, starting in that profession?
nil to none.
All right, forget it. That's over then. Let's go to the death of a salesman candidate. Doug, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a community college called Cape Fear Community College that teaches truck driving. And, you know, I'm always on these back roads. And it's just amazing how many, you know, these Cape Fear, you know, community college truck driving semis I see out in the road. And it's people my age and older, you know, learning how to drive these trucks.
But are they getting any jobs? I don't care about learning. Schools are
It's kind of like crossed my mind, but I just cannot see myself. I mean, hell, I'm bad enough parallel parking a regular car. I can just not see myself trying to back up a semi.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I wouldn't have a problem doing the driving at all or negotiating the
driving is no problem. I mean, I put about 40,000, 50,000 miles on my car in a year's time, so I'm like a truck driver. I'm driving constantly.
Like, you're not like a truck driver. You said you can't parallel park. So how could you move a truck into a space? What kind of truck driver would you be? But a horrible one. Well, then that's no good. But see, I could do that. But if I can't get the job, who the hell wants to learn if I can't get the job? That doesn't make any sense to me. You know,
if you're seriously thinking about driving a truck, I would tell anybody, go to Bureau of Unemployment and get them to line you up. They will pay you while you're going to school. They'll pay your tuition. They'll pay you the whole nine yards. And one of the number one jobs in this country right now is truck driving. You'll always have a job. It may be good. It may be bad.
And do you know that they do that in New York State with the Bureau of Unemployment?
Yes, they do it in New York State. I know it for sure.
Because I haven't had unemployment in months, so I don't even go back there. Those people are useless to me at this point.
New York State is very good state when it comes to helping people who are unemployed.
All right, I'll go to the unemployment department and see about
Pennsylvania
that.
Pennsylvania schmirgy.
Yeah, well, most of the country does.
I was so sick yesterday, I had real bad sinus infection. And I called and told them I didn't know if I could make it or not. They said, well, we don't have anybody. If you get a truck driving job, within a year and a half, my son-in-law went to work for USF Holland. You might have to have a year, 2 years experience, and you can get one of those really good jobs. All you have to do is make sure you keep your license protected. It's a gold card. I can have it quit today and be working tomorrow.
Wow.
I've done about six times.
I'll look into that, and I won't look into the paying the private companies for the education. I'll look into the unemployment. But, you know, I did go to the bartending school, and, yeah, okay, I learned a little bit about making some drinks. Big deal. But they don't want to hire old guys. They want young women in there. So, you know, and they never said that. They never said that when I went in. Hey, you know, you might as well not just come here and learn anything.
Because this is discrimination.
Of course it's discrimination. Sucks. And specifically because it says when they have the listing, looking for women. That's discriminatory.
I would rather talk to you, Albert, in a bar than to some fucking bimbo.
Well, it depends what kind of breast she has, I guess, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know.
Some serious age discrimination out there because, like, when I'm traveling on the road, putting my miles in the car, and I go in my little friendly little adult shop over there, the teenage magazines, like the three packs.
Yeah.
Are a lot more than the MILF section there, you know, like the 40
Jesus
plus.
Jesus Christ, Doug.
I mean, by like $3 more, that's like, God, that's
fair. Doug, you're being admonished now.
They're like penalizing me. They're penalizing me for getting old.
Stop. All right, Doug, that's Stop. It. That's it.
Shush.
By the way,
I am.
I did say.
And I'm telling you, stop.
All right, Doug, you've been admonished. Stop now.
Four person or Dave?
I did say that.
All right, he's gone.
Is he gone?
I just gone. Said I was the bouncer.
He's gone. You're the bouncer. You've bounced him. That's all. We told him. We warned him, and he opened his mouth again. So he's out. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the bouncer does. So you did warn him. You said he's out. He's out. I take your word for it. I have a guy who's been my bartender at one of my favorite places. I don't even know if I mentioned this. Who I went to visit last Saturday, and I hadn't seen him in a long, long time. My friend Ryan, who works at a bar in Brooklyn, and I said, you know, one of these days I'm going to come back there and work with you, because I have my my little bullshit Mickey Mouse certification, so I do know how to make cocktails and do the bar thing. Of course, everything, like any job, like any new career, everything takes time to pick up and learn, specifically in whatever new place you're in. But that goes without saying, and I'm not concerned about that. But I also find out that the place has just been sold. A week ago, it was sold, and it's going to be under new ownership a week from yesterday. So I'm a little concerned about that. Not that I go there anymore, really, but that I didn't know that it was going to be sold, because I might have purchased the place. I don't know how much it was sold for, but it's possible I could have picked the place up, and I would have loved to have it. Not far from where I live, and I know there's a good clientele there. I happen to think that they don't promote the place properly. I think they could do a lot more to bring some more people in there, but such is life. One of these days, I will have that place, and beware.
You could have bought you a job.
What's that?
Could have bought you a job.
I could have bought me a job. Yeah, it would have been a job with long hours, but I would have liked the job, and I would have spent the long hours there, and I would have had David moving up from Philadelphia to work in there, maybe just as a greeter. He doesn't even have to work behind the bar, though I know he probably would, telling stories and doing all whatever he could. But one of these days I'll have a place.
Oh, I would love it.
One of these days we'll all get it together. But I'm not done with the app yet. We're still working the app. It's not.
You'll be a billionaire.
Well, we'll see.
You'll be sitting with Bill Gates.
I have
G7.
That. And I told you I have a second idea of an app which tailgates off this first one, which you know I've told a couple of people who have signed non-disclosure agreements on the first app. I've told a couple of them what the second one was, and they like that even better than the first app. I'm like, well, look at that. So I could say, and that'll be sold. That the perfect place for that is Facebook too. So,
it's gonna be great. It's gonna be Gates, Buffett, and Reynoso.
I don't even want it. I'll hang out with Buffett, but not Gates. I don't like Gates. Now it's 37 minutes after the hour. We have not talked about anything
good,
wanted to get to.
That's the way. I like it.
That's okay. But there were a couple of things. But there were a couple of things that I did want to get to. Do we talk about the ISIS thing? The State Department State Department said they're not going to negotiate with terrorist groups. Didn't we do that already? Didn't we do some negotiation to get somebody back recently? We did something.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did. I think I even have a story about that. Wait a minute. Hold on. Oh, the Bergdahl swap. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Wasn't that it? And the Government Accountability Office says the Pentagon should have let the relevant congressional committees know about the exchange for Bergdahl. So that was not properly done. And then I guess we do negotiate with terrorist groups, so they're full of shit on that. Hagel, our defense secretary, says that the group ISIS is a serious threat to Americans. What else is he going to say? Of course they're a serious threat. They just cut off an American head. What would he say? Oh, no, that they're not really a threat. He's going to look like an idiot if he doesn't say that.
Those nuts.
So that's a bullshit story right there. What else? The British are hunting for the so-called Black Beetle, which is the name they've given to the guy who cut off Foley's head yesterday. Apparently they think he's some guy named John from London. So they're searching for him. The U.S. will, in the meantime, continue to order airstrikes on ISIS forces in Iraq. So we can probably expect more American heads to roll in any day now. I don't know what's going to happen with that. Rin, any Ebola?
Yeah, if you'd like an update.
Ebola! Yep. Ebola! Don't touch your friend! Don't touch him! No, it is something dangerous! Ebola! Ebola! Don't touch your friend! No, it is something dangerous! Ebola!
All right,
Ebola!
That's Ebola. the Ebola theme song. What have you got?
Well, I got new numbers.
New numbers!
That just came out today.
New numbers! Hit me!
Oh. New numbers! 2,473 cases.
Oh, okay.
Which is 233 up from 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And 1,350 deaths, except 121.
Okay, from 2 days ago. So it's starting to move again. Go ahead.
And the two Peace Corps workers, have been released from the hospital.
That's what I hear, Dr. Kent Brantley, traveling to an undisclosed location to be with his family, and missionary Nancy Wrightbull was discharged from Emory University Hospital on Tuesday. The CDC says both Brantley and Wrightbull no longer have Ebola and pose no risk to the public. I hope they're right about that, because
they
if they're not,
in for 21 days, is that all? The maximum amount of time
gestation
that can pass
period for Ebola. I don't know, but when the astronauts came back from the moon on Apollo 11, weren't they quarantined for longer than that? I think it was at least a month, maybe a month and a half.
No, they didn't know about what they were expecting to when they come back from the moon. I think they know a little more about this.
You think so, huh? Well, they know so much about it that the numbers keep rising. Ask Rin. Every day is another. It's another tally. All right. Well, okay. I'll go with the CDC people. But if anybody else gets Ebola because of these two people, there's going to be some hell to pay. I don't know what it is, but there will be some hell to pay. That's a damn shame. Okay, that's the Ebola. That's all the Ebola news.
That's it.
Okay. Anything on Ferguson going once? The National Guard is pulling out of Ferguson. Apparently, there's not enough violence in Ferguson anymore for the National Guard to be there. So they're getting out. Anything else? Oh, Kevin Sorbo. Remember him of Hercules on TV?
Yeah.
He is apologizing for a Facebook rant labeling protesters in Ferguson, Missouri as animals. In an interview with TMZ, he said it was stupid for him to post what he said, but he did so out of frustration and anger over everything that's going on in St. Louis and the whole situation. I have to say that I would not have called, if I were Kevin Sorbo, I would not have called those people, the protesters, animals, but I certainly will call the looters animals. There's no question about that, and I would definitely not retract any statement that I would call looters animals. I don't care if they're in Ferguson. I don't care if they're in New York in a blackout. I don't care if they're in Los Angeles after somebody gets convicted or not convicted of some crime. If you're looting, you're a fucking animal. That's all there is to it. Don't care what color you are. Don't care what nationality your background you have. You're looting, you're a fucking animal. Not right. A protester. Protesters, not animals. So Sorbo, maybe okay pulling back on that. But I will not pull back if anybody says that there's any something wrong with me calling looters animals. Looters are animals. That's just the nature. They are savage individuals that do not respect civilized behavior. So looters, I will say, if Kevin Sorbo says the looters are animals, good for you, Kevin. I'm with you on that. Protesters, no. Looters, yes. Just to be clear.
Albert, did you know Opie from the Opie and Anthony show?
No, not personally.
You never talked to him? How about Jim Norton?
Just briefly in the urinal, at the urinals.
Oh, okay. Because the other day I was listening to them.
Very polite.
Late last week they were talking about this.
Uh-huh.
You know, now that they've lost Anthony, the show's become almost political in nature.
Oh, really?
And serious. Yeah. And they were talking about this. And both Norton and Opie were on the air saying, you know what? If this were 20 years ago and I were there, I would loot because I would loot. I mean, I would have trouble not getting. I would just think it'd be cool to do.
Because it's cool to do. That's savage behavior. That's a savage mentality, and it's a savage behavior. Sorry.
I was looking for the joke and never heard it.
No, there is no joke there. You're destroying other people's property for no reason. You're stealing things, you know, just because of the sense of I don't even know what the sense is. It's just animal behavior. Looters are animals. Looters are animals and uncivilized and savage. That's all I have to say about it. There's nothing right about that. And I say the same thing about people who are rapists and other categories of behavior that is clearly deviant to civilization. That's what I'm going to say. So Kevin Sorbo, okay, you pulled back on protesters, but I guess he didn't want to get into any more controversy. But maybe I would have pulled back on protesters and says, yeah, I was wrong about that. I should have said the looters were animals. That's what they are. Shall we get on to? Are we done with that? Are we done with the Ferguson stuff for today? We are done. Okay. Then let's get on to, I don't know, what do you want? Let's get on to the Ice Bucket Challenge. Oh, there it is. Another $1,000 going from me to the whatever the charity is. So consider it done, everybody. You know what? I'll give him another $1,000 to her. Ow. Okay. Former Congressman Gabriel Giffords. Has completed the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. She was, of course, shot in the head and nearly killed in the 2011 mass shooting in Tucson, Arizona. And after taking the plunge today, she and husband Mark Kelly, he of the space shuttle fame, tapped the CEO of the National Rifle Association to do the same thing. See, it's now transcended the purpose that it was meant for, which was to raise money for ALS. Now it's another political statement. Clearly, that's what the statement is here. It has nothing to do with fucking ALS. It has to do with, hey, look, I can do this as a person who has suffered from a gunshot wound severely, and now I dare the National Rifle Association guy to do the same. All right, enough with the fucking ice bucket challenge. This has become a political bone now. I don't know what would you call it. It's a political thing now. Has nothing to do with anything. Yeah. And if you don't believe that, then listen to the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, who over there, the Catholic Church leaders say donations to the ALS Association are funding studies that use embryonic stem cells, and the use of such cells is considered abortion in the Catholic Church, so they're urging donations to be diverted to ALS research that meets its doctrine. So again, Ice Bucket Challenge, bullshit. Enough of it. It's now taken on a political tone that has nothing to do with anything related to what it originally was. So enough. Not only that, but top diplomats are being told by the State Department not to participate in the Ice Bucket Challenge. That includes U.S. ambassadors to other nations, State Department spokesman Marie Harf. Ouch.
What the hell?
That's Robert making a right turn. Marie Harf. That's okay.
Rumble strip.
Yeah, rumble strip. She said it's a violation of federal ethics rules to do anything that may be construed as for private gain, no matter how worthy the cause. She noted that Ice Bucket Challenge for ALS is a very worthy charitable cause. It's also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, as everyone knows. But she says that it should not be done by anybody who is related to the State Department. So there's your, oh, wait a minute, one more Ice Bucket Challenge story. A fire captain is in critical condition after he and three other firefighters were injured during the Ice Bucket Challenge in Kentucky. The firefighters were using a fire truck's aerial ladder to dump water on the Campbellsville University Marching Band. Two firefighters, including the captain, were shocked when the aerial ladder struck a power line. One firefighter is still hospitalized in fair condition. I think they're going to do a new challenge for him to raise money for that. Don't know what it is. Maybe it's the shock treatment challenge. Maybe it's the 9-volt battery challenge, whatever that might be. Maybe you keep the 9-volt battery on your tongue as long as you possibly can. Yeah. Two others were injured on the ground and taken to a hospital where they were treated and released. So that's the Ice Bucket Challenge. Ridiculous news for today. So we covered.
I have one other Ice Bucket Challenge story.
Let me give you the intro. Hold on. It's another $1,000 to the charity thing, whatever it is. As far as you know,
it's our former president and first lady. Sitting in his patio was George W. And his wife came along. He said he challenged other people. She came along with a big bucket and poured it over his head. You can see it on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he challenge, when he was done, did he challenge the evildoers to take the ice bucket challenge? I'm going to challenge the evildoers to take the ice bucket challenge like I did.
Go ahead. Go ahead and try it. Give some money to charity.
Does he even know that money has to be given to charity, or does he not know that? I don't think a lot of people know that, so it doesn't really matter. It's just the ice bucket challenge. Blah, blah, blah. Research, blah, blah, blah. Charity. Yeah, I can put ice over my head. Big deal. All right.
Make me thirsty.
Yeah. What else? More charity is sweeping the country. Customers at a Florida Starbucks were making headlines on Wednesday for paying it forward. It started Wednesday morning, where nearly 400 customers kept a chain of kindness going for nearly half a day simply by paying it forward. Managers say a woman ordered her drink and paid for a stranger's coffee or drink after that. All day long, hundreds of customers continued to pay for the drink of the person who was next in line. The streak lasted for 379 customers before it was finally broken. And what is the big fucking deal there? You're not paying anything forward. Somebody paid for your drink. Instead of paying for your drink then, you're paying for the next guy's drink. So only one person had to fucking pay.
There was the person that didn't pay was the one at 6 o'clock. That
exactly.
Drank.
Exactly. That's the one. That's the
you
one who
twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's a fucking scam. You know what paying it forward is? It's not doing the same thing. It's doing something different. Do something nice for somebody else because they need it. That's what you. That's what the paying forward is. This is a ridiculous. Is another ridiculous concept.
I don't know. I think it's a random act of kindness.
Okay, it might be a random act of kindness, but if I knew I didn't have to pay because somebody paid before me, what's the big deal? So I pay the guy behind me. So big deal. To me, it's nothing but a Ponzi scheme on a very small scale is what it is.
It's the thought that counts.
It may be the thought that counts, but until the one sucker at the end doesn't have the money to or doesn't want to do it, then the Ponzi scheme falls apart. So this is essentially a Starbucks Ponzi scheme is what it is.
And it's not an act of kindness because you're going in there to buy yourself a drink and expect it free.
Right.
So, okay, I didn't pay for mine, so I'll pay for his.
Yeah. Well, I don't get that. I don't get that paying.
Just wait
to get their name in the news.
Well, I would call it a Starbucks gangbang. I wouldn't call it paying it forward. I'd call it what do they call it? A daisy chain? What do they call it when? No, it's a gangbang. It's when a bunch of different guys screws the same girl. Isn't that a gangbang?
Isn't that a train?
A train, a gangbang. Yeah, I think it's essentially the same thing. It's a Starbucks gangbang is what that was, or a Starbucks train. But I wouldn't say it's a paying it forward. That doesn't seem to make it for me. Anybody else on the Starbucks Ponzi scheme there? No? Okay. Damien has left us. He's had enough. Robert's still with us. David, I believe, is still with us. Am I correct?
Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
How about David? No, I think David. I think David went to the. He's probably got the. What do they call that pan that you got to pee in?
the bedpan,
right? I think he's using the bedpan right now.
I am here. What are you talking about?
Oh, because you didn't respond. I thought you were.
Responded. I was muted.
Oh, you were muted.
I forgot I was muted, and I'm responding, and I would like to speak with Rob, the truck driver, sometimes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, whenever you like.
Can you friend me on Facebook or something? I got more questions for you.
I've got your phone number here on the Skype.
Oh, good, good. We will talk later. Thank you, Rob.
Really? Okay,
give me a call or I'll call you.
Yeah, I'll call you from Europe.
Send him a text or something so you guys can go back and forth. And then when David finally gets his trucking license and is able to get me in the union, then I'll go in for the whole
I will make some money so we can open that craft beer store.
Let me tell you something. I've got some money socked away for the time being. So if you want to join me, and I know you would make a good guy to partner in with a bar, something like that, and craft beers, and plus I got other ideas for the place. Forget about a regular place. It ain't gonna be like that. That's not
he
what it is.
He will do
at all.
Something, Albert.
Oh, no question about it. So you get in touch with Robert, and we'll find out what happens. What do we have? We have 55 minutes. Were you already 55? Almost 55 minutes in. We got about 5 minutes left. So let's go to the, of course, the most important. story of the day. Let me play the theme music for this one. Yes, it's a Robin Williams story. Robin Williams, apparently not completely dead yet. The family of Oscar winner Robin Williams has spread his ashes in the San Francisco Bay as a fitting tribute. I don't know why that's a fitting tribute. I don't even know why it's a tribute at all. It's just they scattered his ashes in San Francisco Bay. Citing what it says is the actor's official death certificate, TMZ says Williams was cremated the day after he died, and that his ashes were scattered in the bay. Williams was found, of course, dead last Monday, and they say he died from hanging himself with a belt around his neck. So that's hopefully the final word on Robin Williams. Don't know. It could change. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm really sorry that I didn't get to Miranda. Miranda popped in here for a couple of minutes earlier. Yep. And I did want to speak about this. I didn't know we were going to get into this whole jobs thing and finding out about trucking. Yes, it was good. Finding out about trucking and jobs lasting 18 months in computers and that kind of thing before technology changes and you're screwed like most people are after a certain amount of time. But there's a thing called Oculus Rift, which is a virtual reality headset. That Facebook purchased for $2 billion last year, and they have put out a $500,000 bounty in finding bugs for the program because they think that this is going to be a huge, huge program, and I agree with them, and it may change the way people don't just do gaming, which, by the way, gaming makes more money than movies does. A lot of people don't know that. Many people do, but a lot of people don't. So Oculus Rift could be a major game changer, pun intended, for gaming and for movies and for just about anything use the internet for. So we'll see. But they are going to be putting out a bounty to find bugs in the program, which is a nice thing to do if you have Oculus Rift. I'm sure that Miranda will be talking about that a little later on this evening on Getting Geeky with Miranda Janelle, which happens at midnight tonight Eastern Time right here on GabNet. But right now it's time to call it a night for Albert's Public House because Alex Bennett's ramble.
You've got 3 minutes.
What
you
the hell?
You've got 3 minutes.
You know what? Every time I go overtime, I get called various names that are not complimentary, and I don't want that to happen tonight because, frankly, I want to be a good guy, not a bad guy, not an evildoer.
So I'll
cut out on time tonight. We'll do the last word and make sure that the Alex Bennett ramble gets right in on time at 10 o'clock Eastern as it's supposed to. So we'll do the last word. Start with Rob. Rob, last word on Albert's Public House.
Obsolete.
Damien, last word.
Tuna fish.
Where did you get tuna fish from? You've been using that for a while and I love it. You know what? You know what reminds me of it.
It just came to my head a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago, and yeah, I like having a default like Patrick had.
It reminds me. It reminds me of the movie with Peter Boyle where he was in a mental institution and he with a bunch of guys in the mental institution, and they were on a bus, and he said to one of the keepers that he didn't want to sit next to this other guy because he smells like tuna fish. Get him away from me. He smells like tuna fish. So every time you say that, it makes me smile. David, last word. Yeah. Oh, by the way, does Nicole have a last word? I saw her moving in the background. She can come in a second. David, last word.
Flamethrower.
Okay, Nicole, last word.
Birthday.
Oh, good. Is it your birthday? No, it's not. Is it your birthday? No, I said happy birthday. Damian. Oh, it's Damien's birthday. I'm sorry, I wasn't on Facebook today. Happy birthday, Damien.
Actually tomorrow. So.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay, well, happy birthday tomorrow. I won't be here tomorrow because Rob Alfano will be hosting Albert's Public House. But I wish you a happy birthday.
Unfortunately, Rob, I'm going to have to pass tomorrow night.
Okay, well, sorry, Rob. As I do the birthdays every night at this time, and followed by the horrible scopes, but we don't have time to do the horrible scopes tonight because Alex Bennett has to do the ramble in 40 seconds. But Rin has a last word as well.
Bouncer.
What is it?
Bouncer.
Oh, Bouncer. Okay, thank you. I didn't hear you there for a second. Well, that's it for Albert's Public House tonight. Thank you for some good conversation and some recaps on what's going on in the world. I will be here on Monday night personally, but Albert's Public House is back here tomorrow night at 9 p.m. with Rob Alfano. And Alex Bennett is in next with another citizen panel, so be here on GabNet. And I thank you for enriching my life.
Okay, fuckity bye.